Today's Shir Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Beis, as we, Baruch Hashem, have the schus to begin another Masechta and Shas, Masechta Avodah Zarah. Actually, after we learned Masechta Sanhedrin, which had spoken quite extensively about the Hilchos of Avodah Zarah, it would be appropriate to immediately learn Masechta Avodah Zarah. But as the Maram explains, we first learned Masechta Makos and Shavuos, which of course are very related to the Masechta Sanhedrin as well. The Sanhedrin are those that administer the Malkus, if somebody, Chas V'Shalom, doesn't have Erev, which does a Chiyuv Malkus. The Sanhedrin is the one, Bezdin is the one, as we learned quite extensively, in Masechta Shavuos, that under certain circumstances are the ones that require that somebody make a Shavua. And therefore, we learned Masechta Makos and Shavuos, and now we come back to Masechta Avodah Zarah, which belongs after learning Masechta Sanhedrin. So begins the Mishnah Lefnei Yadayim Shel Avodei Rechavim, before the holidays that the Nochrim celebrate, for Shlosh Yomim, for 3 days before the holiday, also Loseis for Loseis Simon. We may not do business with them, which includes Lashelam, to lend them something, or to borrow from them. And as Rashi explains, the concern in all of these cases is that we're concerned that what we're doing will cause the Nochri to go and praise and thank his Avodah Zarah on the day of their holiday. So there's, of course, a fundamental question. First of all, Tosfos points out that when the Mishnah mentions a number, sometimes the Mishnah mentions the number after it mentions what it wants to teach us, like in our Mishnah, where first the Mishnah says the halacha about before and after the holiday, and then it says 3 days. Similarly, we have the famous Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Kedushin that says, Ha'isha niknes b'shloisha drachim. Again, the fact, and then the shloisha drachim. Psula Nasas L'Yom Ravi, the Mishnah beginning Masechta Ksubis, the famous Mishnah in the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos, HaTorah Niknas B'Mem Ches Dvarim, and sometimes it goes the other way. For example, in Masechta Nazir, the Mishnah says, B'Shivet Rochem Bait Kim Azov, there are 7 ways we examine Azov. The Mishnah in Masechta Yuma says, B'Shivet Shem Kodim Yom Kippurim, the number is mentioned first. And Tosfos says that there is no specific reason why it's mentioned that way. The Mishnah teaches us this very important halacha, that if before or after their holiday, the halacha tells us that we have to avoid doing business with them. And the Rishonim point out, when we speak about a holiday, we don't speak about a holiday that comes on a regular basis. The Rishonim, the Rishbon Ritva, says that we're only speaking about a holiday that comes not that often. On the other hand, other Rishonim, and they arise to this from the Gemara, actually suggest that this halacha applies by every holiday. And in fact, we're going to learn a Gemara in our perek that suggests that the halacha may be even those Nochrim, that keep Sunday as a holiday, we may only be able to do business with them 1 or 2 days a week. Why is this the halacha? So Rashi explains, because the Nochri goes and is thankful to his Avodah Zarah on his holiday because of whatever positive business transaction he had. So Ran explains, why are we concerned that they're only going to the holiday, they're only going to go on the holiday to thank the Avodah Zarah? Maybe they're going to go immediately. So the Ran explains that when we speak about what type of business, what we're allowed to sell them, what we're not allowed to sell them, so he points out we're only allowed to sell them something that will be around. You sell them 3 days, sell 3 days before the holiday will still be here. But if it's something that is perishable and won't be here by the time of the holiday, then you'll have to sell it. Says the Ran, what do we see from this halacha? What we see from this halacha suggests the Ran that it's only on the holiday where they would go and thank the Avodah Zarah. But anything, and that's why only if it's something that has that will last to them that long. But if it's something that won't last, then it's something else. The Rishonim also discuss a difference between selling them something and buying something from them. Because they explain, if you sell them something and it's something which is perishable, which will not be here by the time their holiday comes, so that's why you don't have a problem. But if you buy something from them, and this is the opinion of the Ritva, so what you're giving them is money. Money is something that lasts, obviously. So there, it doesn't make a difference what you bought, whether it's what you bought from them, whether it's perishable or not, it would be usur. And the Ran quotes the Gaonim that indeed says that we're not allowed to buy anything from them, and selling to them, we're only allowed to sell to them something which is perishable, but not something which is not perishable. So of course, as we learned the Mishnah, the first question that we have to understand is that we know that this isn't what people do, and people do business with Nachrim before their holidays. And how do we understand this halacha? How do we understand that based on our Mishnah? So Taisa says that since they don't really worship the Avodah Zarah as a religion, they're not really connected to the Avodah Zarah. This that they worship the Avodah Zarah is only minig avasim b'yadayim. This is what they've always done, but it's not something which is really that based on a real belief. Therefore, we could be more lenient. That's Taisa's approach. Others say that the approach is that the concern is Ava. If we're going to not be doing business and the other things that the Mishnah says that we're not allowed to do with them before the holidays, it's going to come to a situation of Ava. They're going to say that the Jews don't want to worship Avodah Zarah. And therefore, we can't live in a world where the Goyim, where the Nachrim will have such an attitude. Another explanation is that this may only be relevant in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, it's not that much of a concern. Interesting approach. Another approach is that Klal Yisrael particularly apparently in the time of the Mishnah, were not off so well financially. And because they were not so financially stable, there's a real concern that if we're going to say that a Jew can't do business with them when it comes to their holiday season, the Jews won't be able to survive financially. And because of the concern that Jews will not be able to survive financially, they were more lenient. Another approach that I saw that the Rishonim suggest is that most Nachrim, the way they worship Avodah Zarah Bezman Hazeh, is B'shituf. It's not that they don't believe in God. They just believe in God and something else. And that, as we discussed when we learned Masechet Sanhedrin, may actually not be prohibited for a Nachri, and that's why there's room for leniency. So the halacha is we're not allowed to do business with them. Lashilam, we're not allowed to lend them something. Lishamahem, we're not allowed to borrow something. Another explanation that the Rishonim suggest why we're not makban on this halacha, because they want to suggest that the only thing we're not allowed to do business with them is something that they could actually buy and use for the Avodah Zarah itself. But when it comes to something like lending or borrowing, so even though they're not probably going to use what they lend and borrow for Avodah Zarah. But here, explains the Rajba, there's a whole new issue. And the issue here is that the fact that the Yisrael is prepared to do commerce with the Nachri is something that makes the Nachri feel so very good. And because it's something that makes the Nachri feel so very good, what will be his immediate reaction? That he's going to give praise and thanks to his Avodah Zarah that he was able to get a Jew to do business with him. And that's why, even though many of the reasons that might not be applicable by regular business apply by borrowing and lending. Lashil and Lishmahem, Lavoisim, one may not lend the money, or Lilvoismahem, or one may not borrow from them. So many Rishonim suggest that this halacha that we're not allowed to lend or borrow from them, particularly when we speak about lending them money, is only if we're lending them money without interest. But if we're lending them money on interest, so it's not something that makes them so happy, and also perhaps based on what we said a few moments ago, it's something which is part of what the Jews did to survive. So therefore, because of all of these reasons, lending money to them, which they have to pay ribis on, interest on, may be permissible. Well, lefaron, that one may not pay them a debt, again, very obvious, because they're going to be so happy that they got their debt paid. Or lefroy mehem, or to get paid back. Again, even though paying costs money, but ultimately they're going to be so happy that they were able to pay off the debt. Again, there's a concern they're going to go thank their Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, nefroy mehem, we may get paid back from them. Because getting paid back from them, meitzuhuloy, at the end of the day, it's something that they're really not happy about, that they have to take money out of their pocket and pay back. Amaloi, to which the Chacham said to him, that you are correct, nobody's happy about spending money, but Abishu Meitzer Achshav, maybe they're not happy now, so Mechulach Azman, then one, they will ultimately be happy that they got off this burden from the head, and therefore we should not do so. The 3 days that we're speaking about, most, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, is the 3 days besides the day of the Avodah Zarah. There's an interesting discussion in the Paiskim based on what we just learned in the Mishnah, that we know that people that visit the cemetery, the Beis HaKfaris, on the day they have a yard site. And sometimes it's a little difficult to get there on the day of the yard site. I'm certainly not speaking in a case where it's Shabbos, but if it's during the week, they wanted to say that if our Mishnah is teaching us that the halach is the 3 days before and after are connected to the holiday, to their holiday, so should certainly be the halacha regarding a yard site. But of course, many Paiskim disagree, and their opinion is that when we speak about Avodah Zarah and the unique halachas of Avodah Zarah, it's not something that we could connect to what we're discussing when we speak about a yard site of a family member of a tzaddik, and therefore one has nothing to do with the other and can't be used in that way. There's a very interesting discussion that the Paiskim have. One thing that's very clear from learning our Mishnah is that we're not allowed to show and cause even that there should be respect to a Avodah Zarah. And the question is, if one meets a priest of an Avodah Zarah, and they're typically addressed with a title of honor, what is the halacha about us addressing them with a title of honor, and in general, showing them any level of respect? So certainly, the Ramah says, in Yoredei Simen Kuf Nun, Sif Gimel, you have priests that have anything connected to the Avodah Zarah on their garments. They used to carry some sort of a symbol of the Avodah Zarah. Then the halacha is that one should not show any respect when they're dressed that way, because And showing respect to that way means you're showing respect to the Avodah Zarah, and therefore it's Usur. What about, however, calling them with a title? And the most common question that comes up is calling them father. And may one call a priest father? And the halacha, Rav Yoshev said, is that one, since father, you know, because there's some that want to suggest, father doesn't necessarily mean a priest. He says that since father has become a title of respect, then the halacha is that we should not address a priest, if at all possible, that way. Another question that I saw is that sometimes doing something, even right before their holiday, the halacha is asur, as our Mishnah is teaching us, but sometimes it could cause a Kiddush Hashem. And for example, let's say somebody found an object that was lost by Avodah Zarah. And by returning it, we of course could create a Kiddush Hashem. The issue, however, is that it's right before the holiday, their holiday, and as we're learning in our shir, in our Mishnah, it's quite possible that after you return it, they may go and pray and thank the Avodah Zarah that their lost object was returned. So on one hand, our Mishnah is telling us it's Asur. On the other hand, there's a Kiddush Hashem that could be created, and maybe it should be Mutter. And of course, we add into this question, the reality is that we're speaking about the Rabbanan, the Issa to do business with them before the holidays, only Issa the Rabbanan, and maybe it should be permissible. The Cheshuki Chemed quotes Rabbi Yoshev Zatzal, Rabbi Chaim Kinyevsky, who was asked this question, and he says, if the Mishnah says it's Osir, and the Mishnah did not make any of these dispensations, it's Osir under all circumstances. So says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel, Chatani Eidehem, one of them said that the spelling of the word in our Mishnah is Eidehem with an Aleph, V'chatani Eidehem. And the other one says it was with an Ayin. And the way Moritz Chayitz explains the Mishnah is because in the time of Chazal, the Mishnah was learned Torah Shebal Peh. It was written orally. And since it wasn't written, they didn't have any documentation for the proper spelling. And that's why they had the place for this machlokes. What is the proper spelling in our Mishnah? So says the Gemara, man de toni edeim, the one that has the girsa of edeim, le mishtabish, or man de toni edeim, and the one who uses the word edeim with an ayin, le mishtabish, is also not making a mistake. And as the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, that usually when we have a machlokes in Shas, the machlokes is a much stronger type of a situation. Each Tana, each Amira holds that the other one is wrong. Here, it's not a question of one being right or wrong. Question is, what's the more appropriate spelling? And says the Gemara, man the Tani Edeim, the one that learns over the Aleph Lamech Tabish, could exceed the Pasuk says in Dvarim, Kikarev Yoiv Edom, and there the Pasuk speaking about Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, man tani edeim with the ayin is also a mishtabish, is also making no mistake. The ksiv yitnu edeim v'yitztaku, and the pasuk there too is speaking about Avodah Zarah. Ask the Gemara, so both words mean Avodah Zarah, why did each one learn the way he learned? Ask the Gemara, man tani edeim with the aleph, my tam aloi tani edeim with the ayin. Amalach, he says, tavra odif. The Pasuk says Edeim because the Pasuk means in that context that the Avodah Zarah will be broken, which is, of course, the way we want to reference Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, Oman Datani Edeim with an Ayin, my Tamalai Tani Edeim with an Aleph, says the Gemara, Amalach Maka Garmle Tavra, what causes that the Avodah Zarah will ultimately be destroyed? Edeshidim Amatzmam, the fact that they worshipped Avodah Zarah in this world, that will be the beginning of the end. Hilchach, and therefore he says, it's better to use an ayin. And the way I saw Rabbi Yosef Engels at Tzal in a Sefer Lekach Toiv explains this machlokes, when we have something and we have the cause and the effect, what is more important? Do we speak about what happens, or do we, that's a dehem, that they will be broken, or do we speak about what caused them to be broken, and therefore he uses the word a dehem with an ayin. V'hai, says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, v'hai v'yitnu a dehem v'tztaku, the pasuk that says a dehem with an ayin, by the k'chom k'siv, ask the Gemara, speaking about v'rigzara, habisrael k'siv, but ask the Gemara, this is speaking about Yisrael, Domer v'shu ben Levi, komitza shi Yisrael, oysen ba'olam hazeh, all the mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael do in this world, will say testimony in the next world. Shnema yitnu edem v'tztaku el Yisrael yishmu v'yomer emes elav dekachavim. The kachavim will hear how Klal Yisrael performed the mitzvahs in this world and will cause them to realize that Klal Yisrael were worthy of Hakadosh Baruch Hu's tztaku to them, the way Hakadosh Baruch Hu treated us. So one point that the Miri makes is that the Gemara uses the words kol mitzvahs. What does the Gemara mean with the word kol mitzvahs? Sometimes we look at a mitzvah and we don't think it's such a significant mitzvah. Teaches us the Gemara kol mitzvahs, that every mitzvah that is performed, there's no such a thing as an insignificant mitzvah. The way the Mashah explains this Gemara is that we know that every time somebody does a mitzvah, he creates a malach. And what the Gemara means to say is that by every mitzvah that we perform, we create a malach. And that malach goes to Shemayim and helps us and testifies on behalf of the good things that we do. The Gemara Mesech the Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis Amin Aleph speaks, it says, Los Lavoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will kill the Yetzahara. The tzaddikim will look at the Yetzirah and look at it and say this was like a mountain. The Rishoyim will look at the Yetzirah and say it's like a thread. And the Mishnah Gemara continues to say, Halol Baichim, Halol Baichim. Everybody will be crying. Hatzaddikim Baichim, the tzaddikim will cry. Ketzad, how were they able to prevail over such a complicated Yetzirah? The Rishoyim are going to cry how they were not able to prevail over such an insignificant Yetzirah. The tzaddikim are crying because they realize that this that they were able to prevail over the Yetzirah, who was so very powerful, it was only because of Siyata Deshmaya. And therefore, they're going to cry and say, if it was only because of Siyata Deshmaya, we don't deserve any benefit. And when they see that even though it was not in their own power that they prevailed over the Yetzirah, it must be just chesed and tzedakah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for them. And that's what the pasuk means when it says, yitnu eideyem, when the tzaddikim see what happens, v'yitztoiku, they're going to realize how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go to realize how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. On the other hand, the Rishoyim, who view the Yetzirah like a chut asara, they look at that and say, if the Yetzirah is so insignificant, the tzaddikim who prevailed over the Yetzirah must have been were able to do it on their own. And they're going to say, Yishmu v'yomer emes, that the tzaddikim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give reward at tzaddikim, it's the deserving of the reward because they did it on their own, because in their mind it was so easy to do, they didn't need to send Siyata Deshmaya. So, but the point of the Gemara is, if this pasuk is a proof, not talking about the Yetzirah, so how can we say a deyem when ayim means Yetzirah? Says the Gemara, Ela Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua, man the tanim a deyem, the one that learns a deyem with an ayin in our Mishnah, mehachir bases on this pasuk. The pasuk says, Yoytzir b'hesel kulam tayu, all those that create the idols are nothing. The chamideim bal yailu, they have no power. Vedeim hema, they're meaningless. Says the Gemara, Darish of Chanina ba Papa Vitamir of Smiloi. Lost love, maybe a Kodesh Baruch Hu save a Torah, or Menei Bechekoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring the Sefer Torah. And he puts it Kaviyachal in his lap. And he says, somebody who spent his life learning Torah, Yava V'yatel Scharai, is deserving of getting schar, reward for it. Immediately, all of the Nachrim come, all in mass. Shnema kol agoyim nitzbu yachtov. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, ati konsulem beruvya. Don't come here all together. Why did they even attempt to come all together? Mefarshim explain, because they realized the power of a tzibur, and therefore they tried to come as they to come as a tzibur to try to have that schus help them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them, don't come to me all mingled together. Every nation should come separately, and its chachamim should also come to along with them. And the way the Mefarshim explain, why are Talmidei Chachamim called Soifrim? The reason Talmidei Chachamim are called Soifrim, because as we get deeper into the Galus, the level of the Talmidei Chacham that we have amongst us diminishes. So they're not called Chachamim anymore. They're not called Chachamim anymore. They're called Soifrim. Shnema v'yisof al-umim v'en lum el-amachas. Shnema, as the Pasuk says, ula'oim mel'oim yametz. The Mefarshim explain, the Pasuk says, u'pinisi aleichem, a Pasuk in Parshat B'chukosai. Rashi explains, Efna mekol asakei, I am going to, so to speak, stop whatever I'm doing, l'shchalem secharchem, to give Klal Yisrael the reward you deserve. And Rashi continues, Moshel David Daima, l'melech shesocha pa'alim, the king hired workers, v'lo'i lov d'lo'i b'amuna, chutz mi'echad, they didn't work faithfully besides one, shovel b'amuna, that did work properly. Nechnas su pa'alim litl scharim, so the palm came to get their reward. The nechnas imam gam palahu, and that worker also comes. Amalei melech b'nei, efna lecha, I'm going to deal with you. Ke'elu asim melechim ata, they, the rest of these people, did not really work for me properly. V'ani noyselam schamud, I'm going to give them just minimal reward. Aval ata you chesh b'drav yeshli imcha. With you, I have a big calculation. Kacha Kadosh Baruch Hu l'kayim, so too, when it comes to the nations of the world, Misham Schar B'mehiris, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays them off quickly. K'shabal Yisrael, but when it comes to speak about Klal Yisrael, Poyna Mikol HaSokov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns away from everything else. Shescharam Harbe Ma'od, we, Klal Yisrael, are deserving a much reward. V'tzorach p'nai lasimam cheshben l'froy kol zchuyos. This is all in the Sifsei Chachamim. And that's what happens here too. What happens here is the Nachrim, as the Gemara says, all come to get what they believe is the reward that they deserve. But they don't really they don't really deserve it. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu just takes care of them and then deals with Klal Yisrael. But the question, of course, is that the Beis Halevi asks, why would the Nachrim even think that they are deserving of reward based on their behavior in this world? So he says the Gemara, so to speak, answers that question. The Gemara says that Kadosh Baruch Hu puts the Sefer Torah b'cheikoi, in his lap. What does it mean he puts the Sefer Torah in his lap? So he wants to suggest that the Sefer Torah, which is in the lap of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, refers to the Torah Shebiksav, which the Nachrim do follow. And therefore they say, well, we follow the Torah Shebiksav, and that's why we are deserving a reward. But we know that what's really critical is following the Torah Shebapem. Ask the Gemara, Mi'ikam Urvuvi Kami Kadosh Baruch Hu, how can we say about all of this type of a situation in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu, that there's so many different nations, how Kadosh Baruch Hu could judge everybody individually, even when there are many people there? Ela kehechad alei la'arvi inu gadei adodi. Says the Gemara, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is concerned that the Nachrim amongst themselves should get not get mingled. The Lashtama Madalomahu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be able to speak to every one of them according to what he has to say to them. So says the Gemara Mayad Nichnasa Ma'ufana Machas Ruah Meitchila. The first one that comes in is the Roman Empire. My Tama, why did they come first? Mishum Dechshiva. They are the most important empire. Says the Gemara Mnolan Dechshiva. What makes us say so? The Ksiv, the Pasuk in Daniel tells us that there was a Daniel had a dream about four animals, four chayas that represent the four different golas that Klal Yisrael experienced, the four different monarchies that will prevail in the world. And he says that Kain Omer Chayosa Devriosa Malchar Vi Tava Ba'ara Titishna Mekom Mechos V'tach Kol Ara V'dushnei V'tetkinei. The Malach that told Daniel the interpretation of that dream speaks about the fourth empire that will prevail in this world, and that is the most powerful, how it will destroy the entire world. Vam Rav Yochanan, and Rav Yochanan explains, whom is that referring to? Zerume Chayeves, it's talking about the Malchus Raimi, Shetiva Yotz B'Kol Olam, that the whole world is well familiar with them, U'minolan Deman D'Chosh of Ayel Bereisha. And therefore, the most significant of these Malchus must be Rome. Says the Gemara, U'minolan, how do we know the man the chosh for Abereshim? But now the Gemara asks the question, why would we say that the one that's most important goes first? Answers the Gemara, Kid Rav Chisda, what Rav Chisda taught us, Dom Rav Chisda, Melech v'tzibur, if you have a king and the tzibur, Melech nesnaschil adin, the king enters first. And as the Mepharshim explained, even though we're speaking here about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kulam, Niskarim b'skira achas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at them all at one time. But even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at every, has the ability of looking at everything at one time, still HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges everything and everybody individually. Shnamar, the pasuk says, V'yidvar Ela, the pasuk speaks about Shlomo Melech Tfilo, but the Chanukas Beis Hamikdash, and Shlomo Melech is mispalel. V'hi yidvar eila shosnati l'fnei Hashem, kroivim el Hashem, yoyman v'layla, lasus mishpat avdoi, u'mishpat ama Yisrael. So it says, mishpat avdoi, the mishpat of the melech first. Ask the Rav Tamamai, why indeed is the king come first? Ibai seim v'dalav aruch alo ma'isach malcha avroi. It's inappropriate, it's not respectful that the king should wait until everybody else is taken care of. V'ibai seim v'kam d'lechish charenaf. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears the sins, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel gets upset. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before he gets very upset, he wants to give the king the opportunity not to be the subject of that. And I saw the Be'er Shmuel explains. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or anybody is judging them, realizes that if people did the wrong thing, they must have done the wrong thing because the king didn't teach them to do the right thing. And therefore, the king, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that people did the wrong thing, he's going to punish them first, the king even more. So that's why he takes care of the king first, before that will happen. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Malchus Rami, B'maya Saktem, what did you do that you're asking for schar? We made a lot of marketplaces, Habim Mechtsos Asinu, we made a lot of bathhouses, Habim Kasav Azov Herbinu, we had much money. Everything we did for Torah. So the question, of course, is can they fool HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How could they say this? So says the Gemara, Amalam HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how do we understand even what they're trying to say? What they're trying to say is that, yes, the Ben Yoyod explains this. Yes, everything we did for ourselves. But when Klal Yisrael saw how Rishoyim have it so good, they come to the recognition that how great will it be for the Tzaddikim. So we were the ones that did it for Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them, Shoytim Shevoilim, you fools. Whatever you did for yourself. Tekatim Shvokim, Lahoshib and Zoinus, you had the Shvokim where you had the Zoinus sitting. Machatos, Ladam Atzmam, you made the bathhouses all for yourselves. Kasav Azov Shalihu. And the money is all mine. And what it means to say is, people don't get rich or poor because of what they did. They become rich because of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, who should be wealthy and who should be not wealthy. Shnema, as the Pasuk says, Leave the Kesef Liyazav Num Hashem Tzavokos. Klum, and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues saying to them, Klum Yesh Lechem Magad Zois, Shnema Mi Bechem Yagad Zois, Vein Zois Al HaTorah. When the Pasuk says Zois, it means the Torah, Shenemar, Zois HaTorah Sa Moshe, and says the Gemara Miyad Yotsu, after they go out, they walk out, Pepech Nefesh, they walk out all upset. When the Gemara calls Torah Zois, so Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky explains that the word Zois is a word of consistency. And what we're saying about the Torah is Zois, that what makes the Torah so special is that it's consistent and never changes. And that's why those who say the Ani Mamins every morning, when we speak about this belief that we have, we say, Shezois HaTorah Loisei Mechlefes. The Mepharshim ask, what does it mean when they say Shoitim? So one pshat that I saw from the Torah's Chaim is that the Nachrim, if they would have made these things for the benefit of all people, and they also benefited, then they maybe would have a fair excuse. But what they say, what Hashem says to them, I know the truth, and I know that everything you did was only for you, the leadership, and that's why. And I saw Reb Chaim and the Brisker Rav were once speaking, and the Brisker Rav asked, Reb Chaim asked the Brisker Rav, I don't understand why are they called Shoitim. Why? Because of what they say here, are they called fools? They should be called Rishoim, or they should be called Shakronim, fools, liars. Why does the Gemara call them Shoitim, fools? So he says, so the Brisker Rav answered his father of Chaim with a very interesting answer. He says, Emitz Hashem Mehera B'Yameinu, when Mashiach comes, he says, it's going to be so clear that everything that Hashem did in this world was only on behalf of Klal Yisrael. At that time, it's going to be so clear that everything was done for Klal Yisrael, they're going to really start to believe that that was what the reason they did everything. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, maybe it is indeed clear that that is the way the world looks, but don't be foolish. That's the way it looks now. But when you did what you did, you never did it for any other reasons other than what was good for other that was good for yourself. Another pshat that I saw that we know that it says in Pirkei Avos, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek L'Olam Haba. Every Jew has a Chelek L'Olam Haba. So when Mashiach comes, the world is going to be a world where all of Klal Yisrael will have a share in L'Olam Haba. And the Nachrim will see, as the Sefer Machshavas Musa says, that even Jews who didn't learn Torah, and they weren't so great, are having a share in Olam Haba. Why? Because every Jew is important. And every Jew, even if he's not where he should be, he's helping another Jew to be where he should be. And therefore, even maybe they didn't act always as they were supposed to act, but they helped the Jews who acted the way they were supposed to act get where they were. So the Nachrim say, if all Jews are getting a share in Olam Haba because of what they did and helping another Jew, so then we too helped the Jews accomplish what they did, what they have. And therefore, since we were also instrumental in the success of Klal Yisrael, that's why we deserve schar as well. Says the Gemara, Yotze Malchus Rami, so now Malchus Rami leaves, v'nichtas Malchus Prasakra, and the Persian Empire comes in. My Tama, says the Gemara, the Hich Shiva Basra, it's number two. Umanolan, how do we know the Malchus Pras is number two? The Ksiv, again, we go back to that dream of Daniel, where the Pasuk says, Arachav Yachreim, v'tanina damila doiv. The second one looked like a bear. V'tana Reb Yosef, and Reb Yosef says, who does that refer? Those refers to the Persians. Shachem v'shayisim gadoiv, they eat like a bear without proper manners. U'mesubalim b'basa gadoiv, they're heavy like a bear. U'megadim seya gadoiv, they're very hairy. V'eilam menucha gadoiv, and they're constantly moving like a bear is constantly moving. Amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them, B'maya sektem, what do you do in this world? And they too, Omer Lefanim, they say, Rabbanu Shalom, Habi Gisham, Habi Gisharnu, we made many bridges, Habi Krochem Kavashnu, we captured many countries, Habi Mechamas Asinu, we had many wars, for Kulam La'asin of Shvili Yisrael, everything we did was only because of Klal Yisrael. Today, she is asked with Torah in order they should be able to learn Torah. Amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them as well, Kom Asha Asisim, everything that you did, Letzarech Atzmachem Asisim, you only did it for your own benefit. Tekantem Gisharim, when you made bridges, you made them little memekas to be a place where you could collect toll. Krochem, when you made these cities, las b'mangaria, you made fortified cities that you should be able to go to battle and capture countries. Shnema and Nechamas, and the wars that you did, aniasisi, wars are in the control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shnemar Hashem ish Nechama. Because, as the Ravid explains, people go to war, countries go to war, but they can't be confident that they're going to win. Only who HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to win should win. Klum yesh lechem ha'gezois. And again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Klum yesh lechem ha'gezois. Shnema mi b'chem ya'gezois. Vein zes ala teira. Shnema v'zois ala teira shem moisha. And miyad yotz b'pachin nechesh. And they go out again. They also go out all upset, realizing and recognizing that they cannot, that they can't fool Hashem. Ask the Gemara, once Malchus Pras saw that Malchus Rami was getting nowhere, my tama Eili, so I was there thinking even to go in. Answers the Gemara, Amri, because Malchus Pras says to itself in the Sasri Beis HaMikdash, they were the ones, Malchus Rami was the one that destroyed Beis HaMikdash. But we know that Kairish Melech Pras was the one that gave them permission to build the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, they believed that that schus would help them. V'nam b'ninan. And says the Gemara, V'chein l'chal u'ma v'uma. And this happens with every nation. Ask the Gemara, V'chim ha'achad l'chazoy l'kamoy. Once they see the previous, d'loy mahani v'loy midi, that they're not accomplishing anything. So ask the Gemara, Tam Ayla, why did they even try? Answer the Gemara, because their thinking is, Savri, their thinking is, Hani Ishtabi Bab Yisrael, these people subjugated Klal Yisrael, these nations, and therefore they're not deserving in any schar, but not L'Shabbatim Yisrael, but we never treated Klal Yisrael that way. Says the Gemara, what makes a country chshivi or not? What makes these more choshev than the others? Says the Gemara, Hashem, the Hani Mashkim and Mechasayu, Rami and Pras will exist at the Asi Mashicha. Says, so ask Tosfos Rid that the Persian Empire expired in the times of the Greeks. So what does that mean? So Tosfos Rid answers that when it says they expired, it means that they no longer have power over Yerushalayim, but they continue to exist. Tosfos says that the Gemara says, I see the Pras, lipel biyad Rami, that Rome will prevail over Pras. So how do we say that Rome and Pras will coexist? So Tosfos says that Rome and Pras will continue to exist, close to Mashiach. And then in the last few months before Mashiach comes, that's when Pras will fall into the hands of Rome, and then Mitzvah Mashiach will come. Amr Mufanov, so now Gemara says, Rabbanu Shloilem, Klum Nasata Lanu Lekavlanu. So now they say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, did you give us a Torah that we didn't receive? Ask the Gemara, how could they say something like this? Mi Matzlame Mahachi, V'ksiv, V'yoyim Hashem is Sinai Bova Zorch Masei Elomai, V'ksiv Elokai Metam and Yovai. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came from all different countries to Kabbalah Satorah. And the question is, my boy Basay and my boy Baparin. What was he coming from all these different countries? HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Torah to every nation of Kibluwa. Achabah Esi Yisrael the Kibluwa. Until Klai Yisrael took it. So what's their complaint? That they didn't get the Torah. They refused the Torah. Says the Gemara, Alachim Klum Kibluwa Lekamnu. Did we accept the Torah and not follow it? We didn't take it. So why should we be punished? Says the Gemara, I don't understand what they're saying. The question that that Hashem has to them is a Michael Blatour. Why didn't you accept the Torah? Ella, Miyad, I'm a Fanarban Shalom, Klunk, Fisal, and Haka Gigas. Did you force us to accept the Torah for like of Leonua that we didn't accept it? Kamai Shasisal Yisrael, like you did to Klai Yisrael, the Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, Yisask to attack the Sahar, Vamar Avdimi Bachoma, Melamish HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kofa HaKagigas Al Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Torah and like a barrel and put it over Klai Yisrael, Vamalem, and he said to them, Im Atam Kabbalim, as a Torah, if you received it, if you're ready to take the Torah, great. Harez Mutav, great. Vamlav Sham Teik Varaschem. So the question is that they had to, why didn't you give us that opportunity and force us to accept the Torah? And of course, the question that Tosfos asks in Masechta Shabbos is that we know that Klai Yisrael said Nasa V'Nishma. They were more than happy to accept the Torah. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to force them to accept the Torah? So Tosfos gives two terutzim. One terutz is that the time of Kabbalah HaTorah, there was fire and thunder and lightning, and they got frightened. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to force them to receive the Torah. Another pshat that I saw is that they were only ready to accept the Torah Shebiksav. But now that came along with the Torah Shebal Peh. That they didn't originally accept, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to force them to accept the Torah Shebal Peh. Another point that Ramosha Soloveitchik I saw says that Kofalem Haka Gigas means that a person, a Gigas is a barrel. A barrel is a place that has limited space. What the Torah tells us, what the Torah is here to teach us, that the Torah is teaching us that we have to, somebody who follows the waves of the Torah has to be able to limit himself. And no, he can't just do whatever he wants to do. He lives in a Gigas. He lives in an enclosed area to be ready to accept whatever the Torah says to him. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant to say, V'lav Shom Teik V'raschem. The Torah is like you're in a grave in a limited space. But of course, I saw that in the Siva Shalom explains, what this all represents is the great love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klai Yisrael. That when he saw that they were not ready to receive the Torah, they were starting to question if they should consider the Torah, accept the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with his incredible love of Klai Yisrael, said, I will force you to accept the Torah because I know that's what's best for you. Another pshat that I saw from the Per Yisrael is we know that Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what's chus will Klai Yisrael receive the Torah? We leave Mitzrayim. And Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when you leave Mitzrayim, Tadus Elokim El Har Hazeh. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, if Klai Yisrael were not prepared to receive the Torah, Shomtek Vraschem, then you would have had to remain in Mitzrayim. And Shomtek Vraschem, there you would have come to an end. Your whole reason for leaving Mitzrayim is only that you should be able to succeed and survive and remain forever. The Kedushas Levi says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to every nation, what happened was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when they asked Max Sibba, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was show them the part of the Torah which would be most difficult for them to keep. Asa was shown Lo Sirtzach, Yishmael was shown Lo Sinof. These are the hardest parts that they could keep. But when it came to Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't show them the Torah in a way that they shouldn't want to accept it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed them the Torah in a way that they should want to accept it. And that was the claim that the Umas Olam had to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To Klal Yisrael, you made it in a way that they should want to receive the Torah. And to us, you made it in a way that we should not want to receive the Torah. And that's why they complained, why weren't we treated that way?